today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
broken. Love people. Share the gospel with people. Let them know there is a God who does exist, and he's not the mean man upstairs. He's not this grumpy, bearded dude upstairs who's just looking to throw lightning bolts down on people because they mess up. If he did that, nobody would be alive today. We'd all been gone long ago, okay? That's not who God the Father is. God the Father is, before I made the world, I loved you.
Many believe that missions work is a scary, distant thing. What if you don't want to go to Africa? What if India is just too far away? Well, what if I told you that you could do missions work right from the comfort of your own home? In today's message, Pastor James teaches that one of the best ways to spread the gospel is by simply loving others, inviting them into your home, sharing bread with them. You see a physical need? Then meet it. When you do, it allows God to work through you to meet their spiritual needs. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Whatever spiritual blessings you have is simply because of where you are at, and that's in Christ Jesus. It wasn't based on anything that we could have ever done. It was solely based on what he did for us. That's it. That's it. It's so simple and so beautiful. Why do we miss it so often? Why do we complicate it so much? I really believe that it comes down to just the simplicity of mark out a portion of your day, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, or maybe it's both, morning and evening, kind of like a Charles Spurgeon deal, right? Morning and evening, you carve out some time within the day, and this time is non-negotiable. This time is me and Jesus' time. And I'm going to sit at his feet. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to open up his word. And I'm going to hear what he has already said to me. And I'm just going to sit. And I'm just going to sit in silence if I need to, just so I can hear from him. But I whether he speaks to me or not does not matter. I'm going to sit at his feet because this time is precious for me. Because I'm in Christ. And any spiritual blessing that I have is simply because of who he is and the fact that I surrendered my life to him. So positionally, it's about you being in Christ Jesus. All these spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ, are in Christ. Look at this verse 4. Here's a little preview to some of these blessings. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us, what? In Christ. To be holy and without fault or blameless in his eyes. So here's one of these spiritual blessings. God chose you. God chose you. He picked you. He picked you. Before you were even born. Before the world was made. Before this beautiful earth that we get to live on, and not even just this earth, but the whole solar system and all that good stuff, and the amazing things that he's created, and I believe he spoke these things into existence, no doubt about it. It doesn't take a long time when he's God Almighty and he can just speak things into existence, right? Before he made all this awesome, cool, beautiful stuff, you were on his mind. You were on his heart. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. Before he didn't need a blueprint for the earth. But this tells us, here's the Apostle Paul in prison, and he's like, man, before anything ever was, he had a plan, but he also had you on his heart. You didn't even have time to give them a reason not to love you. You didn't even have time to expose the fact that, yeah, we're born sinners. That's the reality. That's who we are. You didn't even have time to be good enough. You didn't exist. But before he made it all, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. But not just like, I'm going to choose you guys and then that's it. And you can kind of run off and do your own thing. No, he chose you for a reason. Holiness is a part of that reason. But let's define what this means, because this is one of those churchy words, right? And we're like, when we think of holiness, I don't know why, but sometimes our minds go towards like the Pope, right? And we think like, well, no, that's holy. Not technically, okay? Holiness means set apart. And not just set apart, but set apart for a purpose, set apart for a reason. Distinct is a good word, a good term for that. Before he made the world, he loved you and chose you to be holy. He specifically selected you to be different, to be distinct, to be holy. He knows what he got when he got you, right? He's not surprised, right? And he's like, no, listen, this gospel is a free gift for anybody and all, whoever wants to receive it. Now, there's an element there, free choice and all that good stuff. Yeah, the gift is free, but you got to say yes. You have to say yes. And then when you say yes to Jesus, you need to realize he picked you from the very beginning so that you would live differently. So that you would live differently, you would speak differently, you would act differently. And when I say differently, I mean that you would represent him. You would look like him. Distinct from the world. The world's got its own manners and customs and way of speaking and all that stuff. If you're a believer in Christ, you should live differently. You just should. And this is not a crazy thing. This seems like it's turned into some taboo kind of a thing. Like, what do you want us to, like, live in a monastery? Like, go live off on our own? No, be normal. My goodness, Christians, be normal people, right? The world doesn't need weird people, okay? Be who you are, but be different. Wear what you want to wear, kinda. I mean, keep it appropriate, please. But it's not like we don't always have to go around, you know, sporting this or that or whatever. Look, just, he's made you. He created you to be holy, to be distinct. And it's not about the dress. It's about how you treat other people. Love God. Love others. It's pretty simple. This is not complicated. Love God and love other people. It's pretty easy, right? So we think. But sometimes those two things, that's the distinction. That's the difference. That's the difference. There's not a lot of love in this world. There's not. I don't care what you say. I don't care what commercials you create and what, all the stuff. There is not a whole lot of love in this world. There's just not. And the world's looking for all sorts of solutions. Well, if we do this, we can all come together. If we do this, then we can all come together. All their plans are in vain, because without Jesus, it's just not happening. But yet, here's the church of Jesus Christ. We should be loving. Loving. And that word in and of itself and how to do that appropriately can look like different things. Love in truth. The world needs to hear truth. We live in a world where it's like, I don't even know what truth is anymore. The world's done a really good job of that in the past 10 years to muddy those waters. And if you don't think that there hasn't been like some sort of agenda behind that, you're sadly mistaken. It's not like we just woke up today and it's like, well, I don't know what's true anymore. No, this has been a work. Why? Because if we can cloud up what is true and what is not true, we keep people in a state of confusion. And confusion leads to hostility and just out, you know, just snapping and all that good stuff. Christians should live their lives loving other people, speaking truth in love, hopefully, and representing the fact that, man, God loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's true of other people. So we ought to be sharing that with other people. Because there's a lot of people walking around in this world and they're just hopeless because they feel like, I'm not worthy of love. And if there is a God, why would he want me? And then you could come alongside him and say, no, look, before he even made everything, he wanted you. He wanted you. And he's presenting this free gift of salvation to him. All it takes is saying yes to Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need you to be my savior. That's it, man. That's it. We carry around this. We have the solution to the world's biggest problem, just like Jesus had for that man that was lowered down from the roof in front of him. We carry around the solution for the world's biggest problem. We have the gospel message, the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have that. We have that. Part of being holy is not being isolated, but living on a mission for God, sharing this remedy with the people who are lost and who are dying. That's it. That's what holy people do. Holy people don't hide out. Holy people don't hide out. They don't run away from the world. They run into the world. They don't run away from the battles. They run into the battles because they know people are dying. People are dying and people die and go to hell. That should never be okay with us. What also shouldn't be okay with us is there are people who are suffering within this world that should never be okay with us. We run into the battles. We run into the fights. We don't run away from the fights. Holy people should be bold and brave people. You don't believe me? Read your Bible. Good place to start. Joshua chapter 1. Be brave. Be courageous. God told that to Joshua multiple times. Why? Because Joshua was probably afraid, like you and I. Be bold, be courageous. Don't let this word depart from your lips. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Stay in the word. Be bold, be courageous. Be bold, be courageous. Love people. Share the gospel with people. Let them know. There is a God who does exist, and he's not the mean man upstairs. He's not this grumpy, bearded dude upstairs who's just looking to throw lightning bolts down on people because they mess up. If he did that, nobody would be alive today. We'd all been gone long ago, okay? That's not who God the Father is. God the Father is, before I made the world, I loved you. Before I made everything that you guys get to enjoy, I loved you. And I chose you. There was a plan to send Jesus to this earth long before we ever existed. The plan for salvation was already in play. God wasn't surprised by Genesis chapter 3, where the snake's in the garden and Eve gets the apple, whatever it was, apple or some kind of fruit, whatever. And then sin creeps in. Now sin is introduced into the world and there's separation between Adam and Eve and God. God was not surprised by that. He already had the rescue plan in place. And the rescue plan was based off of his love for you and I. Before you ever had a chance to earn it, he already loved you. This is God the Father. He loves you. And then here's the last little thing that I'll say this, concerning this. How we are seen, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault or blameless within his eyes. And that's free from the condemnation of sin. I hope you're walking in that. I hope you feel that to be free in Christ. Do you sin? Yes, you do. Okay, you don't want to answer it, I'll answer it for you. You're a sinner, all right, there you go. Now you can be mad and all that stuff, that's fine, but I told you the truth because I'm a sinner, because I sin. The difference is I sin and I own it and I say, My Lord, I don't want to. I apologize. Please forgive me for my sins. On the cross, that work is done. But because of a relationship, I'm constantly going to him and apologizing for when I do something that he has told me not to do. Okay? I hope you are walking through this life with this freedom, so to speak, this without fault in his eyes, blameless, because you're covered by the blood of Christ. Does that mean you're perfect? It is not what that word has never meant that. It has never meant that. It's not talking about being perfect, but it's talking about being blameless. You fall down, let them pick you up. You sin, own it, apologize for it, repent of it, is the other word that we use. Turn away from that and do what you know is right. Hopefully you're walking in that freedom, because there's a tremendous amount of freedom that comes with that. Tremendous amount. But what I want to highlight, and just to close this out with, is this. Your position in Christ. I was reminded of some of these verses this week as I was just doing my best to study through this thing. This week was nuts. I keep saying that, and I'm tired of saying that, honestly. But every time I say it, like, Monday comes back, and it's like, oh, you thought last week was crazy. Well, here you go. I'll share with you a little bit of that, but just crazy, crazy, crazy. But I was reading through this and just studying through this. I was reminded of what we have in Jesus and in Christ. And it's not from Christ, but it's what we have in Christ. Do you find yourself hungry today? I could be speaking materially. If you're physically hungry, there's some donuts and croissants in there. You knock yourself out. Man, I'll buy you groceries if I need to, if you're hungry. But I'm talking about spiritually. Are you empty today? Because if you're empty today, what I want you to understand is this. In Christ, he's the bread of life. And he said to himself, I'm the bread of life. John 6:35. I'm the bread of life. You can be satisfied in him. If you're empty today, if you're running on E today, you just need to feast, quote unquote, so to speak, on Jesus. In fact, just as a reminder, there's these wooden bowls at the back of the room. We constantly keep these things filled with communion. Take some of those cups with you. Enjoy communion. We're celebrating his body that was broken for us and his blood that was spilled out for us, if I can get my words right. Take that. Take it home with you. Do devotions. Open up Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Read through that and then take communion. Be full in Christ. He's the bread of life. You feel lost? Are you lost today? You feel aimless, directionless? Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know which way is right anymore. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way. I'm the way. You feel lost? Go sit at his feet. Let him be the compass of your life. Let him set the course for you. You're sick of the lies? You need truth? Same verse. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. You're tired of all the nonsense? Hey, turn off your TVs. Turn off your TVs. Go outside. Spend time with Jesus. If you're feeling lost at all, I'm going to say if you're indulging too much within news, and I don't care what side of the political argument you're on, I don't care about any of that stuff. That will feed into your lostness. That will feed into the confusion. Turn it off. Get your phone. Download Bible app or whatever, and go walking through your neighborhood and listening to the word, or bring your Bible with you and read your Bible. But just, he is the truth. He is the truth. If you're feeling dead, lifeless, just dried up, I got nothing, man. What once was like a stream of living water now feels like just a dried up riverbed. Same verse from John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything that we need. Everything that you desire in this world can be found in Jesus. You feel lonely? You'll have no better friend than him. You'll have no better friend than Jesus. You feel hopeless? He is our hope. He is our hope. You're having the best time of your life? Praise God. It's because of him. It's because of him. He is everything that you need. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you're searching for, you can find it in Jesus, period. You can find it in him. Our heart's desire will only be truly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that solves the mystery. If you're frustrated right now because you're trying to find fulfillment and all that stuff, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Last little verse is this, James 4:8. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. Draw near to me. Come to me. Even Jesus himself said it in the Gospels. Hey, you're tired? You're weary? You're burdensome? Come to me. I'll give you rest. James 4:8. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I think that's a truth that we need today. The world we live in, the crazy busyness of whatever and the nonsense of, we need more Jesus, and I need to run. I need to go to him each and every day, each and every day. So that's my prayer for you guys, is that you would just run to Jesus, and you would understand if he's your Lord and Savior, what you have in him. And just holding on to that truth, it can get you through whatever storm in life. Whatever storm comes, because I'm going to promise you, they're probably on the horizon. I pray you get smooth sailing. I pray you have glorious days. You'll have them. You will have them. You'll probably have more of them than storms, if we're honest, right? But we definitely pay more attention when the storms are coming. But run to Jesus. Sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. You don't know what the week's going to hold for you. You lose a loved one. We've lost 4 friends this week. 4 friends. From Sunday to Wednesday, died. That I know. One was an uncle. I didn't really know that guy too well. But my heart breaks for my cousin who called me Sunday. No, she texted me and said, hey, I'm going to go see my dad. He's dying of cancer. Can I call you? Can you pray for him just to ease his passing? Sure. Absolutely. She didn't get there in time. And my heart breaks for her, right? And for my other cousin. Beautiful girls. And my brother-in-law lost his dad. That was this week. And then my friend got murdered this week by the one person who was supposed to love her and protect her. And then he killed himself. So what do you do with that? Just draw near to Jesus, man. Or run to him. Run to him. I'm going Tuesday to Amarillo to go do a funeral for my friend who loved Jesus more than anything. And she was a beautiful lady because of her love for Christ. And because she knew, this is who I am in him. And she did amazing things for Jesus because she understood she's his daughter and she's wealthy beyond all imagination. And so she loved freely. She loved freely. You don't know what the week's going to hold for you, but I can tell you this. Good or bad, my advice to you, my advice to myself, just spend time sitting at his feet. Just spend time sitting at his feet. Enjoy Jesus. And enjoy him so much that you want to tell other people about him. Hope, the hopeless, hopeless,
red for the broken, broken. Thanks for joining us on this journey through Job on today's edition of Bread for the Broken. Pastor James will dive into a truth we all face. Pain and suffering are unavoidable in this life. Sooner or later, trials will come. The question isn't if we'll suffer, but how we'll respond when we do. Will our relationship with God be enough? Will we still trust him when everything else is stripped away? Job's story doesn't offer easy answers. Instead of explaining the reason for suffering, it affirms something far deeper. God is still in control. Rather than asking, where is God in my pain, Job challenges us to ask, where am I in my pain? Am I trusting the one who created me, even when I don't understand? We hope that today's message encouraged you. Our heart is to help people from all walks of life find hope and new life in Jesus.
If you're near Galveston, Texas, we'd love to have you join us in person at Calvary Galveston. Our Sunday service starts at 10 a.m., and it's a laid-back, simple, and uncomplicated environment focused on magnifying Jesus for every generation. Can't make it in person? No worries. You can stream our service live each week on Facebook Live. Just head to breadforthebroken.com for all the details. If today's message encouraged you, consider supporting this ministry. Your generosity helps us continue sharing the hope of Jesus with more people, right where they are. Visit breadforthebroken.com to give, connect, or learn more. We're so grateful that you joined us today. Tune in again soon for another edition of Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.